Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. First order of business for this evening will be the revised agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time?
There are not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Hearing none?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the minutes as, the agenda as revised.
Do you have a second to that motion? You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe that we approve this evening's revised agenda. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Next will be the approval of the minutes of our last regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes of our last regular meeting. All those in favor of the motion, the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Burrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time for public hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion, those hearings will be conducted according to the following rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct is not tolerated and may result in expulsion from the hearings. Each application is announced separately, and the applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or a special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant as well as any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comments. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak, and please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents, and if you have questions for others, those must first be directed to the board. The board will then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case is voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you're here for a case under old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence is taken. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening and view deliberations at the end of the agenda, or you can call the board's office in the morning for the results. And for the courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or a pager, we would request that you turn that off during the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Bull. First case, please.
Case number 10,736, Patrick and Ethel Lennon, east of Route 1, east of Greenwich Court, begin Unit 53 within Nassau Grove Development. A variance from the separation requirement between townhomes.
No, you need to come.
Sorry.
Daniel, be sworn in.
We need your names and residence, please.
Patrick and Ethel Lennon, 31702
Grenache Court, Louisville. Okay. And do you both swear or affirm the testimony about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
You do.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Jane Patchell from Tunnel and Razor, and I'm representing Patrick and Ethel Lennon in their request for a variance tonight. Let me start by stating that there's been some confusion about whether Mr. and Mrs. Lennon needed to obtain a variance to construct the deck that they're asking to build on their unit. My clients live out of state and purchased their Nassau Grove home approximately 2 years ago in hopes of retiring to Sussex County. Originally, they met with a contractor to construct a covered deck on the side of their unit. The contractor came to Sussex County, applied for a permit, and could not obtain a permit. Shane Abbott from Planning and Zoning explained to the contractor that there was a 40-foot setback requirement between multifamily dwelling units, and that is why a permit could not be obtained without a variance. Shane spoke with Mrs. Lennon on the telephone and explained that there was a 40-foot setback requirement, but did not quite explain it to the point that Mrs. Lennon fully understood the consequences. After speaking about this with neighbors, several neighbors recommended that they talk to another builder, see if maybe they change the design of the deck make it equal with the first floor so that it wasn't higher than the first floor, and therefore they could build it into a setback as other single-family houses can be done here in Sussex County, that maybe they could get an application through. Therefore, the Lennons spoke with a second contractor, redesigned the deck, took the roof off, lowered the height, thinking that that was what was required. The second contractor came to Sussex County, obtained a building permit from Sussex County, and construction started on the project. Construction lasted for 3 days until a building inspector came out to the property, once again said that a variance was required for a 40-foot setback between two buildings, told them that they would be receiving a written notice of violation, and work would stop with the written notice. 2 hours later, they received a telephone call from the constable that said, no, you must stop work prior to receiving a written notice of violation. At that point, all construction stopped. My clients came in and immediately applied for the variance the next day. They drove in from Maryland. At that point, it became clear to them that a variance was required. In good faith, they relied on a building permit being issued by an appropriate government agency that, in their opinion, in their builder's opinion, when a building permit is given, to them it meant that no variance at that point was required and the construction could start. So I just wanted to clear the air on that because I know there were some notes that were written in the file from Planning and Zoning Department and let you know what actually transpired in full detail. So that's what brings us here tonight. The reason we're here is that Patrick and Ethel Lennon have requested a 10-foot variance from a side yard setback requirement to construct a 14-foot by 20-foot deck on the northwesterly side of their condominium unit in Nassau Grove. Nassau Grove is a condominium with detached single-family dwelling units. In appearance, it's much like single-family houses if you drive through the neighborhood. The units differ from a normal multifamily development in that they are not attached to one another. The current section of the zoning code requiring the 40-foot setback was passed in September 1982, to the best of my knowledge. And at that point, this type of development with detached condominium units did not exist in Sussex County. The only type of multi-dwelling units in Sussex County that consisted were apartment buildings, townhouses, garden, mid-rise, or high-rise condominium units. The code has never been updated to reflect this new type of property ownership, and therefore the provisions of the code have never been updated to reflect this new type of unit. The 40-foot setback between multifamily dwellings was implemented for public safety reasons. With dwellings now separated into individual buildings with front, rear, and side yard setbacks for each and every unit, the safety concerns that necessitated the 40-foot setback requirement have been somewhat obfuscated. Excuse me. Therefore, the code seems to be overly harsh for my client's detached unit, even though it is classified as a multifamily dwelling. As I said, their dwelling is more similar to a single-family house. The setback between the Lennon's unit and Unit 54 to the southeast is approximately 19 feet, only 1 foot less than required for a detached lot in an MR zone, with each lot having a 10-foot side yard setback. But the side yard setback between my client's unit and Unit 52 is 40 feet, or 2 times the setback distance that would be required in an MR zone for a single-family lot. Taking into consideration the unique nature of my client's home as a detached condominium unit, its unique design with an exterior entry and lanai on the side of the building rather than in the rear of the building, the inability to develop the limited common area in strict conformance with the code with the 40-foot setback requirement, and the fact that the code has not been amended to address detached multifamily dwellings, we believe that the existing code requirement of a 40-foot side yard separation between buildings creates exceptional practical difficulty and hardship on my client, supporting their grant for a variance for the construction of a deck. Because of the setback between buildings, Mr. and Mrs. Lennon cannot install a deck, a porch, or any other outdoor space for their unit in strict conformity with the zoning ordinance. Right now, the maximum that they could put there is a structure that is 4 feet wide. Hardly enough space to make it a usable outdoor living space. That is because at the present time, there's a distance of roughly 24 feet from their unit to unit number 52. 24 feet from their unit to their edge, and then another 21 feet from the edge of the property to unit 52, making a total of 44 feet. The difficulty with development of the Lennon's unit it was not created by the applicant. It was created because their particular style of property is a multifamily dwelling as defined by the code, and that the condominium concept with detached condominium units never existed in Sussex County when the code came into being. The code, when created, never envisioned that type of property and has never been updated to address that particular unit. Therefore, strict compliance with its provision creates an undue hardship on my client. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. You have correspondence before you from 15 neighbors, both within and without NASA Grove, in support of the Lennon's variance request. In addition, there is a letter from the NASA Grove Homeowners Association Incorporated and an approval letter from the NASA Grove Architectural Review Committee, which support our position that the addition of a deck to the Lennon's unit will have no adverse effect on the surrounding properties or the community. Many of the units in NASA Grove and many homes nearby residential developments have decks or porches. The construction of a deck does not change the residential character of a unit or a house, nor does it change the character of the neighborhood in any way. It is not detrimental to the public welfare and does not impair the development of any adjacent property. The deck is to be constructed to the side of the unit in a limited common element as that is defined by the declaration plan that created the condominium unit. In addition, the declaration for NASA Grove restricts the use of limited common areas to the unit directly adjacent to such area. Therefore, the Lennons are the only individuals who are entitled to use that space. So they are not building a deck in an area that somebody else can use space to do something else with.
The entire 40 feet is limited common elements as to
the 24 feet that goes from their side to the edge of what's considered to be their lot, if you will, that has three other units with it. The variance requested is the minimum necessary to afford relief for the unique situation facing Mr. and Mrs. Lennon. We are confident that this board will agree with us that strict application of the zoning code requiring a 40-foot separation between the Lennon's unit and Unit 52 creates an undue hardship on my clients, which is not of their making, and that granting a variance for the construction of a deck on the side of their unit will not adversely affect the character of the neighborhood or the public safety. Therefore, we are requesting this board to grant a 10-foot variance from the 40-foot side yard setback requirement between multi-family dwellings for Mr. and Mrs. Unit in NASA Grove. I did have a conversation with Mr. Burrell when the application first came in, and we are aware that in other townhouse communities, particularly down in the Bethany area and Bethany Meadows, this board has granted variances for decks to be installed on the back of those buildings where no decks were permitted. So we're just asking you to use the same rationale that you used in those particular scenarios for this scenario where we have a multifamily dwelling requesting a deck to be built in a setback. This is now the side yard setback as opposed to a rear yard setback, but there is precedence for such a variance being issued. I would like to ask Mr. and Mrs. Lennon to please confirm all the information that I just presented to the board. We're willing to answer any questions that you may have.
Lawrence, okay. Do you recollect why this was brought in as a condo as opposed to just a...
This project, Nassau Grove project, is a residential plan community. It's all based on design. It could be a mix of single, multifamily, townhouses, condominiums. The choice of Nassau Grove when the developer came in was to create a cluster of single-family homes. And when you're doing clusters, since they could have built multifamily, you build cluster houses in a cluster of 165-foot square. And you can mix the singles, and the distances between units within that cluster can be less than the minimum requirement.
So instead
you could have
of one...
built, you could have built a big townhouse building there that was 165-foot long or even square. So what you do, you take that cluster and you separate that cluster from the next cluster by 40 foot. It turns out they have an end unit. So the 40-foot spacing is required because of that. It's all in the way it was designed, and that's the way it was submitted originally. The record plans for Nassau Grove residential plan community shows clusters of units within 160 to 165 foot clusters, or we sometimes call them pods, but it's just an area set aside for those buildings. Then there's a 40 foot space into the next pod and right on around the whole project. So it just fell inside the cluster of that one section.
So in other words, another home within the same cluster on the opposing side could have a deck?
As long as you maintain everything within the 165 foot. And their situation was they were the end unit, so they had to be 40 feet from the next unit on the next cluster.
What units are in their cluster, 53, 54, and 55?
Yes. No. Yes, that is correct.
So for the board's benefit, you look at those three units and just kind of picture that as a single building that has to be 40 foot from the next single building, which
right.
would have been on 52.
In their case, there's 53, 54, and 55, and number 53 would have been 40 feet from 52 because it's a different cluster, and then number 56 would have been at least 40 feet from 55.
And then 55 and 56, they have to be at least 40 feet
right.
because that's another cluster.
That's another cluster. Because you can't exceed the 165. That allows the units in between, right, even though they're single family, to be 6 or 8 feet apart in between units within that cluster or that pod.
So I have a map of the three units in this particular section if everybody would like to take a look at that.
You got this thing. I think that's probably
yeah,
just
So Lawrence, sir? 52, put a deck onto then?
Well, 52 would
not,
I mean, not at the 40 foot.
I mean, could they ask for a variance the same thing they're doing?
They could.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that the Lennons decided the side and not the back of the home?
I beg your pardon?
Why is it the Lennons decided to build a deck on the side and not the back of the home?
The way that their home is designed, if you look at it, there's a side entrance to the outside. There's no rear entrance to the outside. There's a small lanai on the side with an outside door on the side. So it's the logical location for where a deck would be constructed. Off the back of the house, they would have to actually knock down a wall, which the exterior walls are common elements. Requires a lot more changes to the unit, structural changes, which as a condominium, they're somewhat limited without going through much more approval process from their architectural review committee and taking control of the insurance liability as opposed to the condominium having insurance liability control for outside repairs such as that. So there's multiple legal reasons why the deck makes more sense coming off the side where the lanai is as opposed to the back wall.
Some of the projects that are similar to this, they create a buildable area within that cluster, and they set you can add certain things within your buildable area. That's because a lot of times the house is a little bit smaller than what's really intended, and they give you options for a garage or options for a porch or a deck or something of that nature. In this case, they showed us basically a squares and rectangles for houses without giving us anything but the dimension of what's proposed.
Mm.
So the setback requirements, the 40-foot requirements still had to be maintained from the perimeter of each of the clusters.
Okay. But I'm confused. How was it the first contractor tried to get a permit and he didn't? Then the second one comes in and gets one and builds. How does this happen, though? That's what I don't understand.
Well,
was issued by planning and zoning.
Should we assume that anybody can get a permit as long as they build within the setback?
I don't know what was stated on the permit.
I have the permit application right here.
The permit said it was per site plan, mm-hmm. and there's no signatures who authorized the per site plan statement.
Well,
typically, it would have my initials or Shane Abbott's initials, one of the two, whenever it's per site plan.
So what are the setback requirements on the permit?
What's the setback requirements in on there?
No, it just says per site plan.
It says per site plan.
Per site plan.
So we don't know who made the authorization to say it was okay. The zoning inspector and Mr. Abbott both made statements on the application form for the record to show what they had stated to the individuals,
right.
both builders and the agent, or the applicants.
And that is why we had the explanation up front, because what was stated was very brief and concise and did not give the full story of what transpired there. So that's why we chose to address that first, in our testimony to make sure that everybody had a clear understanding of that.
But even this contractor, the second one, he didn't want to stop, even after he'd been asked to, it got worked out. What was his reason? I wonder, and why didn't
he? The way that it was explained to him was that there was a notice of noncompliance that was coming, and until he received the notice of noncompliance, that, you know, that would be the stop order. About 2 hours later is when the Lennons got a telephone call at their home in Maryland that the work needed to stop prior to the no violation letter being received. So it was just a question of a miscommunication, and it was a question of 2 hours, as opposed to when you read what's written in the application, it makes it seem like it was at least another day, if not longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is one of the main reasons why I wanted to address that, is because it was misleading without, I don't think it was any intention to mislead, it's just they had a limited amount of space to make notes in. So we wanted to make sure that the air was cleared and everybody was aware that it was a matter of hours, not days.
All right. Are there any further questions from members of the board? Mr. McCabe?
No, sir. No.
Mr. Workman?
No.
Mr. Hudson?
Not right now.
Mr. Mills?
No.
Not right now? Okay. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Okay. Keep your hands up, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got 14. Is there anyone here in opposition?
The office did receive 16 letters in favor of.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Chairman, I make a motion we take case number 10,736 under advisement.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. that we take case number 10,736 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Your case has been taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9.
Thank you.
Thank you.